Hello? Hello, this is the president. Hello, this is the president of the United States. Who is this? Is it you again?
Look behind you.
This is my private line. How did you get through?
They're everywhere. All the time. We see them every day. But you have to look behind you.
There is nothing behind me. How did you get this number?
The spaceman told me.
What spaceman?
It doesn't matter. I'm telling you about monsters. Please, you must look behind you.
Young lady, there are no monsters in the Oval Office.
Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. So, I guess it was Thursday morning. Before we went to the Bigfoot conference, because Friday morning we went to the Bigfoot conference, I was trying to get last minute things done, right? Things I needed to go, medications I needed to go, you know, certain things that would help me out if I went. So for me, it's, you know, packing is a task because I got a lot of things I got to carry with me, like CPAP and a bunch of other stuff. And so I picked up the phone. First of all, I wanted to order some CPAP stuff, but I knew it wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to come soon enough. But I was waiting on hold the other day to talk to my pharmacist because I wanted to get an inhaler and a few other things. Because, man, I'll tell you, allergy season in Oregon right now is horrible. I mean, I'm developing a cough again. I thought I was not going to be dealing with a cough. Now I'm dealing with a cough again. I went 3 weeks without coughing. Now I'm coughing again. It's horrible. But so I wanted to get some stuff like an inhaler and other things. And as I was on hold waiting for the pharmacist, I was interrupted with an announcement about new COVID vaccines and boosters that are available for the elderly. And I was, you know, whenever you, I know that there's a reaction whenever you hear the word COVID now, it's like, and it's true. I feel the same way. Thinking, you know, here we are, it's endemic, but yet people are still trying to push the idea that you want to buy it and you want to use it and you want to take them. I mean, I was just reading a story about a guy that isolated for 5 years. He just finally came out of his apartment because he's finally getting enough courage to face the world now, thinking that he's not going to die from COVID, all right? And I when I heard that whole announcement for COVID vaccines, like 5 years after the fact, and I thought, is anyone still interested in this poisonous snake oil, really? I mean, 5 years of all the lies about its effectiveness and later reports of reactions to vaccines, which included things like heart problems, blood clotting, turbo cancers. And I thought, you know, 5 years, we've gone two really without anybody getting into our faces about it, although people are still wearing masks and people are, I mean, they're still asking me at my doctor's office, do you have any symptoms that would be considered COVID-like? No, I don't. Have you got out of the country at all? No, I haven't. And I'm wondering, how long are they going to be asking these questions? And what happens if you do have COVID-like symptoms? What are they going to do? Rush you out of the doctor's office saying they can't treat you? I mean, this is how silly it's getting. Soon Xiong, who's the founder of Immunity Bio and owner of the Los Angeles Times, claims that the COVID-19 pandemic and the very vaccines developed to fight it may be contributing to global surges in terrifyingly aggressive cancers. Xiong, of course, he's the owner of the Los Angeles Times. He actually leveraged his decades of clinical and scientific experience to outline why he suspects that some of the vaccines or a lot of the ingredients in the vaccines that they used on COVID patients or people who didn't want to get COVID were cancerous or pathogenic. And of course, you know, there are many people who've reported sudden deaths. There was a time where if someone was young and they died, they said, who got the vaccine or whatever? I mean, but this is 5 years that we are told that people are having problems. Now, imagine what 10 years is going to tell us. And what other, you know, pandemics are they going to have where we're going to be forced to do something else that's going to be detrimental to our health? Iatrogenic artifact is what they call it. Get used to hearing that. Iatrogenic artifact where the cure is killing you or the alleged cure is killing you. But 10 years after vaccine distribution, what could we be seeing as a trend? Well, like we're seeing now, rare disorders, they're causing people to be sick because of the exposure to poisons that were unreported by the vaccines. So last year, I think it was around the time, it was just around the time that President Trump was about to win. And that guy, Hotez, came forward and he said, well, you know, just exactly, he gave the date. I think it was like the 27th of January or something, 7 days after he was inaugurated. He's going to be facing a major, major problem with a major, major disease that cannot be cured or whatever. Big threat. You heard it. And I was trying to figure out what that threat was. I mean, we were speculating about bird flu, speculating about a lot of things, Ebola. But we thought it would be interesting to examine or look into what possibilities are there and what vaccines may have as ingredients that could act as, well, they could add things like prions and other proteins that, of course, things like bovine spongiform encephalopathy and also Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, whether or not it would surface after the vaccines were given to people and it would just surface out of the blue. I know there's a long shot, right? We took a long shot. We had Dr. McCarron on the program. But we actually presume that these prions and clot threats were part of this package, you know, this unknown package that Peter Hotez used as a threat to the new Trump administration as a possible health threat on the nation. And so we had Dr. Kevin McCarron on the program, and he proposed that the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein, especially as it's produced by the mRNA vaccines, may act like a prion, meaning it could cause protein misfolding in the human body. And this misfolding may trigger amyloid and fibrin structures that are abnormally stable, leading to resistant fibrous clots, calamari clots they're called. And these abnormal clots are sometimes said to mimic characteristics of prion diseases, like Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease or BSE, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, which is known as bad cow. There's wasting disease in deer. So now I did some searching, and I had to. I was just triggered by, you know, hearing about the new vaccines. According to mounting data, one of the more serious side effects of the COVID mRNA jab appears to be dementia, believe it or not. And worse yet, this previously untransmissible disease may now be contagious and transmissible. And how is it being done? Prions. Just like Dr. McCarron had warned us about, prions. He even said something about them being contagious, and I didn't know if he was telling the truth or not. It certainly is, because now they're saying dementia can be spread, transmissive, contagious, because of prions. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. We'll be right back. listening to Ground Zero. I'm Clyde Lewis. The number to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. There's got to be a reason why I'm talking this about this. And not just the fact that I was put on hold by my pharmacist and I had to hear that COVID-19 shots are available. That's not the only reason why I'm talking about this. I'm talking about this because it was months ago that we warned of prion data. We said, according to mounting data, because of Dr. McCarron, one of the more serious side effects of COVID or the mRNA jab or the vaccine appeared to be dementia. Okay. And worse yet, transmissible dementia, which sounds bizarre. Contagious transmissible dementia by way of prions. Okay. Protonaceous infectious particles. That's what a prion is. Protonaceous infectious particle. Prions are known to cause a variety of neurodegenerative diseases in animals and humans, such as Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, which is called CJD in humans, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, BSE or mad cow disease, and chronic wasting disease in deer and elk. And these diseases are collectively referred to as transmissible spongiform encephalopathies, and they're characterized by long incubation periods, brain damage, the formation of holes in the brain, giving a sponge-like appearance, and it fails to induce and failure to induce inflammatory response. So, in short, prions are infectious agents composed entirely of a protein material that can fold in multiple structurally distinct ways. At least one we're now learning is transmissible to other prion proteins, leading to a disease that is similar to a viral infection, but without nucleic acids. And it's not a bacteria. It's not a virus. It's not fungi, because I tell you, or fungi, because those types of things contain nucleic acid. They contain DNA or RNA that instruct their replication. Prions propagate by transmitting their misfolded protein state to a normal variant of the same protein. So according to the prion disease model, the infectious properties of prions are actually due to the ability of the abnormal protein to convert the normal version of the protein into a misfolded or mutated form, thereby setting off a chain reaction that progressively damages the nervous system. Slowly but surely, your nervous system goes downhill. Prions are remarkably resistant to conventional methods of sterilization, and they can survive extreme conditions that would normally destroy nucleic acids of other pathogens, which is part of why prion disease is so difficult to treat. A few days ago, it was reported, and this is the reason why I wanted to make this report to you, because it was reported that there were three cases of CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, reported in the last 8 months in Hood River, Oregon, Hood River County, Oregon. So two people have died from the CJD. Of course, the prion equivalent of mad cow. Identified three cases. County health officials said that they identified three Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, 8 months, three in the last 8 months. One was confirmed by autopsy, while two are presumptive diagnoses. No word on whether or not it was transmissible or it was transmitted. Creutzfeldt-Jakob is caused by infectious prions, which causes rapid progressive dementia, movement disorders, and behavioral changes. It is considered incurable and universally fatal. And there are about 350 cases per year in the United States. That's according to the National Institutes of Health. Now, there's no evidence the disease can be spread from person to person except through organ and tissue transplants or other unusual exposure to contaminated tissue. Now, again, no evidence yet of transmissible prion folding or protein folding, and yet they're investigating the idea of transmissible dementia. According to the Centers for Disease Control, about 85% of all cases of Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease are considered sporadic, meaning there's no clear cause. Just boom, it happens. Your body just says, sorry, I'm going to fold your proteins the wrong way. You're going to die a horrible death. But the coincidence here is that we gave fair warning on this program after the COVID scare was nearly over that one should use caution when making decisions about COVID vaccines and the risks they take in exposing themselves to prion contamination. We had Dr. McCarron on the show then to talk about it. We're going to have him on the show again tonight to talk about it. It was reported that researchers said that replacing Uracil, the replacing of Uracil with synthetic methylpseudouridine in the COVID shots is called Condon optimizations, and that can cause what is called a frame shift. It's a glitch in the decoding, thereby triggering the production of off-target aberrant proteins. And so what happens? Well, the antibodies that develop in the process, they may in turn trigger off-target immune reactions, protein responses. Kevin McCarron had talked about that this frame-shifting phenomenon has been linked to prion production. And that frame-shifted prions specifically are infectious and can be transmitted from one person to another. This was reported actually in the Journal of Theoretical Biology. This dates back to 2013. According to McCarron, quote, a quantitatively consistent explanation for the titers in infectivity found in a variety of prion-containing preparations provided on the basis the etiological agents of transmissible spongiform encephalopathy comprise a very small population fraction of prion protein variants, which contain frame-shifted elements in their N-terminal octopeptide repeat regions. Frame-shifting accounts quantitatively for the etiology of prion's disease. 1 per million frame-shifted prions may be enough to cause the disease and have it spread. HIV TAR-like elements of the PRNP mRNA is likely an effector of frame-shifting. Now, if you remember that program, Dr. McCarron explained this mechanism thoroughly on Ground Zero around the time that Pete Hotez said what he said about a new virus coming in or a new disease that would be fatal. It's not necessarily new, but it could be something. This whole idea of mind-folded proteins and the frame shifting caused by prions can impact every level of your body's organ and tissue system. They bioaccumulate. They're resistant to degradation. They're resistant to heat, and they build up. Prions may, in fact, be the primary molecule that is being shed right now by COVID jab recipients. And if those prions are due to frame shifting, in other words, tinkering or otherwise gain of function, that could be very bad news, considering their implications in dementia and how it begins. I mean, if you frame shift over-the-top condoms, you're going to be making proteins that are spike mitoproteins. And this is going to lead to prion. I don't even know if you can call it an infection. It's a prion invasion. You know, I call it prionoia because I am very paranoid of prions. My grandmother died of CJD back when CJD was still new. And at first they called it BSE until they found the human form was with CJD. My grandmother died of it and it was very quick. She was at a Thanksgiving dinner, or a Christmas dinner, if I recall. We were sitting together. All of a sudden, she started twitching, started yelling, started screaming. And we had to take her to the hospital where her brain was swelling up, and she eventually died. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
tells us they're looking into three cases of a rare brain disease in the past 8 months. Public health officials there say all three have Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Now, it's unclear if these cases are linked. According to reporting from the Oregonian, two of the patients have died.
The brain is an amazing network of neurons. Nearly every task of a neuron is carried out by an army of proteins. Proteins are like a highly specialized working community. Very rarely, an error in the system can make these proteins stop obeying commands and start a fatal rebellion that our brain and body cannot survive.
By having graphene oxide in the vaccines and preventing the spike protein from attaching to cells, it makes the spike protein available to go across the blood-brain barrier to cause the prion diseases. And the reality is that the only thing that's going to happen that's going to make a difference in that is for people to stand up and take responsibility. I work with doctors all over the world. We all research that, but I have people all over the world, and they come back to me with one very specific question. What are the Americans going to do about it?
Everything we're doing is tipping the scales towards the suppressor cells. You're activating the suppressor cells. You're not activating the healing cells. The key system, which you just said, is cancer is all about the immune system. So if you activate the immunosuppressor system, you get more cancer. So then the fundamental root cause is what's activating that immune system on the other way.
And that's it. Something is suppressing people's immune systems. The question is, what is that? And a lot of people are pointing to both COVID, the virus, and to the mRNA COVID vaccines as potential causes.
Them unleashing biological warfare.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. You know, we know a lot. Well, some of us know a lot about how disease spread, right? I mean, very little. People knew very little about how COVID was spreading. They knew very little about what the mortality rate was for it. And so out of panic, they went and got their shots. And, you know, of course, there was warnings of side effects. And they'd say, well, there'll be side effects and you need to worry about them and you need to be careful. But nobody listened because they're all afraid of dying. But what they didn't think about is, you know, the side effects 5 or 10 years down the road. And what scientists were discovering that had been blocked for some time because, you know, they didn't want you to not get the vaccine. Of course not. They invested all that money in it and they wanted people to get it. Well, see, simple things like, okay, you can catch the flu by inhaling germs from someone else, shaking hands with people, not washing your hands. Simple things. That's how COVID was spread as well. But here's the thing. It gets pretty damn dangerous and it gets pretty damn scary when now we find out that prion diseases, proteins folding in a mutation that can kill you, can re-spread that way too. Now we have seen the spike proteins in mRNA and what it's done. Prions, we have warned weeks, months ago with Dr. McCarron, prions are misshapen proteins that cause brain degeneration. Prions can be found in mad cow disease, scrapie in some animals, Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease in humans. They can get into you if you eat infected meat or receive infected blood. But it was thought that they never, ever could be spread through the air. And now it's happening. Again, which to me, whenever I hear stuff that's not supposed to happen happening, I have to think that there's some gain of function exercise going on. In fact, one of my favorite shows on TV right now is 911, and I watch it. They're dealing with a contagion where someone decided they wanted to do some sort of experiment with the contagion to make it, you know, force multiplied. And it may just kill an entire area of the state of California. This is fictional, by the way. But I'm just saying that, you know, when you do these tabletop exercises, these gain of function exercises, and you're messing around with Mother Nature, you get things like this. You get things like prion diseases that can spread through the air. Adriana Agassi of the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich reported that mice exposed for 10 minutes to aerosols containing as little as 2.5% brain tissue from mice with scrapie all developed the disease within months. The prions didn't need processing by the immune system first, as some of the other research has suggested, but they entered the brain directly through the nasal nerves, directly through the nose. Aguzzi said this. He said, we are amazed, or were amazed, at how effectively they spread. He said, now this doesn't mean that animals or people with prion diseases actually transmit them through the air, but now it's bizarre. There's been no unexplained cases of disease transmission which suggests this, but workers in mills that process potentially infected carcasses may need more respiratory protection. Labs that test prions routinely make 10% suspensions of brain tissue, and any handling or taking examples or samples, creating aerosols, prion labs are required to use safety equipment that protects workers from aerosols. Aguzzi, who tested his aerosols at the highest level of protection, thinks those labs may now need to rethink safety measures. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that dementia could be contagious? Now, I don't know how that happened, but we have these reports happening after we were warned of spike proteins and mRNA that could create blood clotting, that could create these types of forms of prion folding. Okay. We reported that, and that's why I'm saying this is a follow-up, because if you look at what a frame shift is, the frame shift is definitely something that we need to look at. The spike mitoproteins and the studies that have been had in the Journal of Vaccine, you know, Information, things of that nature, February of last year, confirms what I and many other alternative news sources were saying all along, namely that the mRNA jabs are the most dangerous medical products to ever hit the market. The study that was performed by the Global COVID Vaccine Safety Project and funded by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Public Health Ontario, and the Canadian Health Research Institute evaluated the risk of adverse events of special interest AESI following COVID-19 vaccination. Data from 10 sites in 8 countries, Argentina, Australia, Canada, Denmark, Finland, France, New Zealand, and Scotland, were included, exposing more than 99 million vaccinated individuals. Of the thousands of side effects Pfizer listed in its confidential report of post-authorization adverse events submitted to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, we had neurological events triggering dementia and prion infections, hematologic blood-related infections, and cardiovascular conditions. The analysts revealed several concerning side effects, including increased risks of myocarditis, pericarditis, blood clots in the brain, and neurological conditions that lead to prion protein folding. Based on the data from across the world, it's beyond clear that the COVID shots are the most dangerous drugs ever deployed. And if you already got one or more COVID jabs and are now reconsidering, you'd be wise to avoid all vaccines from here on out, because you don't want the end result to be a prion attack. I mean, even if you haven't experienced any obvious side effects, and not everybody is going to, because people are different, bodies are different, DNA is different, your health may still be impacted long term. So I suggest you use caution whenever you're encouraged to take more shots, especially if you're waiting on the phone for your medications and somebody encourages you to get another shot and a booster. I mean, if you're suffering from side effects now, your first order of business is to eliminate the spike protein and or any aberrant off-target protein that your body is producing. There are ways to do that, and many of them are like, what, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, stuff that we were told didn't work. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. here's something weird. Okay, here's a weird fact. I just found this and I want to share it with you. Okay. One of the best estimates we have for the average total number of cells in the human body is 37.2 trillion. That sounds like a lot until you consider that the average number of microbes in an adult human is estimated at 20 times the number of cells in the body, and that would equal approximately 744 trillion microorganisms. So, in other words, we as humans are vastly more microbial than cellular in nature. So what we are essentially is one big germ. We're waiting to be attacked by other things. Bacteria, 40 trillion, about the same number of cells we have, 10 times more viruses than bacteria in the body, 400 trillion viruses can attack. The remaining microbes in the body would include fungi, protozoa, helminths, parasitic worms, prions, and protists, amoeba, things of that nature. So we all know about bacteria, and I had a discussion with one of the guys who were waiting on me for coffee at Dutch Brothers today. And I don't think he knew the difference between bacteria, fungi, and prions and the proteins. And he thought, oh, there's got to be a cure. Well, no. And that's the scary part of it all. There is no cure. Kai in Alaska, you're on Ground Zero.
Oh, about a month ago, I was in the ER for panic disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm laying in the bed, there's a man across from me that's going to get a blood transfusion.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor is going through what he may get from the blood transfusion. He's talking about HIV, hepatitis, and he's like, and I'm laying there for panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just going on and on. I want to know, are they taking vaccinated blood? Is the blood contaminated from people that have taken the vaccine?
I have no idea.
Think about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was one of the things I remember when I fell through a shower door when I was a young kid. I was a young guy. And they wanted me to get a blood transfusion. This is around the times that people are all frightened about AIDS and HIV. And I said, no. I said, I don't want to get a blood transfusion because I don't want to get AIDS. And the doctor said I was crazy for saying so. But I didn't want to take that chance. And so I wondered just how much of the blood that they had on stack or had in store for us was infected with HIV. And so I refused a blood transfusion. I got better, but I did have a lot of fainting spells after that. But I'm just saying that, you know, from what I would think, there would be a tainting in the blood supply during that time of HIV, just like there was a tainting in the blood supply of COVID, tainting in the blood supply perhaps of the mRNA spikes. I don't know. I mean, they won't tell us this information. Maybe we can ask Dr. McCarron when he comes on the program. But I just
please ask him, because that's a horrible damn thought. Is there a way you can donate your blood and have them save it? That's absolutely frightening.
That happens all the time with cancer patients and others. Yeah, you can give blood for yourself if you want. That way you have some set aside for yourself. So, I mean, that's if you're a special case and you have a special type of blood that no one else has.
Otherwise, it's a big gamble.
It's always a gamble. Going to the doctor, getting surgeries, all the things that they tell you, it's all a gamble. It's all a gamble for iatrogenic artifacts. I mean, more cases come about, and they don't talk about the cases that come about, where doctors actually kill their patients. They don't mean to, but it's being done. And, you know, maybe COVID's the biggest example of it. The COVID vaccine. I mean, I don't know how many times people were told they had to get it without any caution. Thank God my doctor told me that it wouldn't be good for me because he didn't want me to be clotting up. So, I mean, it just depends, I guess, on who your doctor is.
Exactly. I mean, I've seen a lot of people up here that's taken the vaccine and has gotten turbo cancer, very strange cancer, like gallbladder duct cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, just these really rare cancers.
Not to mention all the things that are happening on right now with Wegovy and Ozempic and all these other things. People are having stomach paralysis. They're having gallbladder attacks. And this is not being reported in the news.
Okay, Claude, here's another one.
What?
Have you seen some of the videos of people going, like, crazy? Like, I saw this, I don't know if it was real or what. This guy was on the subway, and he's, like, crawling on the, withering on the floor and making, like, these horrific sounds. Like, who would do that? It just seems people are losing their mind. Is that, could that be part of this prion?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
shedding?
Well, sure. It could be. I don't know if it is, but it could be, because when my grandmother died of it, that's what happened to her. She was on the floor writhing around. She was making this face of, you know, this weird smile, evil smile look. She was mumbling something we didn't understand. She started shaking and tremoring, and then she just lost it. She lost it completely. So we had to hold her back and put her in the car and take her to the hospital. And within a week, she was dead.
Ugh. Well, yeah. Please ask the doctor about the blood supply.
I will. I'll ask him about that. He's probably listening now. He can probably answer it for you. So,
okay, perfect.
I appreciate it. Thank you for calling.
You
bet. It's a scary thing to contemplate. And not everybody is going to get this done to their immune system. I mean, everybody is susceptible to good bacteria and bad bacteria. I mean, we need good bacteria to help us digest food. Why do you think they want you to take Activa all the time? Why do you think they want you to have yogurts and stuff? Because that keeps you healthy. Good bacteria, bad bacteria. Good bacteria is good for you. Good bacteria protects against harmful bacteria and harmful microbes. Boosting the immune system is what we need to do. They never told us that when COVID was happening. But this is the same for viruses. There are good viruses and bad viruses. Viruses are often made to be easy scapegoats for health problems that we don't fully understand. Even people thought that COVID virus was a scapegoat, saying that calling it a virus was a scapegoat because they didn't know what else to call it. But see, that's the thing. It's that there are many species of viruses. They're all inside of us. They're either harmless or they may provide some benefit. But symbionts is what we need to think about. Symbionts and how they need the attention now. I know it's controversial considering what we hear about in viruses, at least in the public forum, are negative against talking about such things. But when you're seeing things, I mean, we're hearing more PSAs about West Nile virus, Heartland virus, Ebola. And while these viruses get all the headlines, a lot of good examples of things like prions and other things, they get no attention at all. It's a skewed view of these creatures. And I say that they're like aliens because they are. Prions are like alien creatures. And quite possibly, this is preventing us from furthering any investigation into what we could do to help us avoid dying from these dangerous prions. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. Dr. Kevin McCarron's coming up on Ground Zero to talk more about his discoveries, how they're progressing, and what you can learn about prions right here on Ground Zero. Don't go away. It's Clyde Lewis, and I want to share with you some good news. We've created a new website, groundzeroplus.com. It's available for all Ground Zero listeners with great features like a chat room, breaking news, an event calendar, and a 24/7 audio stream with various classic Ground Zero shows and other podcaster shows. There's also a member section, similar to our previous private digital playground, Aftermath Media. You'll find archive shows, videos, webinars, documents, a VIP chat room, and so much more. Stay tuned for Ground Zero TV, which will have a live video stream coming back soon. Will be our podcast network with some of your favorite hosts, along with new podcasts. Ground Zero Plus is an all-in-one website, so you don't have to go to several different platforms to receive our valuable content. We offer affordable monthly and yearly subscription plans with great content and customer service. Please go check out groundzeroplus.com and consider signing up for our member section. Again, that's groundzeroplus.com.
Spinning complacently in the darkness, covered and blinded by a blanket of little lives, false security has lulled the madness of this world into a slumber. Wake up. An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through, seeing all that you are and everything that you can never be. Yes, an eye is upon you, an eye ready to blink. So face forward, with arms wide open and mind reeling. Your future has arrived. Are you ready to go?
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
I'm Clay Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I always like to go back in history and do some data research about how we get from the past to the present and what the future will hold, especially when it comes to things like diseases, neurological disorders, and other things, because these are very important for our lives, our mortality. So we go back to 1987, when there was an epidemic of a fatal neurological disease in cows. Cows became uncoordinated, staggered around, collapsed, and finally died. The disease was called bovine spongiform encephalopathy, because there were holes in the brain where prion protein cells became folded and it linked up and split to cover the surface of the brain. There were more than 1,300 cases of BSE spread over 6,000 farms. For at least 40 years, infected slaughterhouse carcasses had been rendered down and recycled into animal feed. Not wanting to waste anything, pressure cooking of the spinal cord and brain produced a sludge known as mechanically recovered meat. The regulators showed it to go, that it went into meat products. This processed meat and bone meal was turned into a coarse powder and then was fed back to cows. Cows, of course, are herbivores. In this way, they were turned into cannibals. By 1990, bovine spongiform encephalopathy had spread into 14 other species, including cats. Politicians, the food industry, media, the government, farmers, and vets said the BSE couldn't jump species to affect humans, and so they told us that it was okay to eat beef. There were advertisements that were taken out in newspapers. Politicians were shown eating steak. They needed to do that to boost the sales of meat. In 1995, the first human under 40 contracted what became known as new variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, or Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease. It was a CJD related to BSE and belonging to the same family of prion diseases. By March of 1996, there were 5 cases and the government was forced to alter its advice. The prions never went away, or the threat of prions never went away. And there was also this threat that they talked about long-form incubation, that we all could be infected, and that maybe 50-some-odd years down the road, we'll start seeing signs of dementia, problems with thinking, problems with, you know, neurological disorders. And that put the fear of prions in people's minds, what I call prionoia. I mean, there was nothing at the time that indicated that we'd be seeing anything come along that would trigger a reappearance of these prions, these deadly proteins in the blood. That was until COVID vaccines and the work of Dr. Kevin McCarron. And McCarron proposed that SARS-CoV-2 spike protein, especially as produced in mRNA vaccines, may act like a prion, meaning it could cause protein misfolding in the body. This misfolding may trigger amyloid or fibrin structures that are abnormally stable, leading to resistant fibrous clots, or what is called columnaric clots. And these abnormal clots are sometimes said to mimic characteristics of prion diseases like CJD, which involve neurodegeneration as misfolded. We look at misfolded proteins and how they cause the neurodegeneration. According to mounting data, one of the more serious side effects of the COVID mRNA jabs appears to be dementia. And worse yet, this previously untransmissible disease may now be contagious, transmissible by way of prions. So we're looking at proteinaceous infectious particles, prions, cause neurodegenerative diseases in animals, humans, Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease in humans, bovine spongiform encephalopathy in cows, and chronic wasting disease like scrapie in deer and elk. And these diseases are collectively referred to transmissible spongiform encephalopathies, and they're characterized by long incubation periods, brain damage, the formation of holes in the brain, giving a sponge-like appearance, and failure to induce inflammatory responses. Dr. McCarron reported his findings last year on Ground Zero. Well, actually, the beginning of this year, I think. It was like between, you know, it was probably the beginning of this year because it was when Peter Hotez started threatening Donald Trump about a disease that was supposed to plague us after Trump became president. We were talking about the possibility of it being prions, that there was proof that it would be a problem. And a few days ago, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to do this show. A few days ago, it was reported that health officials in Hood River County, Oregon, they're reporting that two people have died from Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, which, of course, is the prion equivalent of mad cow. A few days ago, county health officials say they've identified three cases of Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease in the last 8 months. One was confirmed by autopsy, while two are presumptive diagnoses. And so the question I have is this just the beginning? Are we seeing a prion model arriving where prions were once, it was like they weren't transmissible, now they are? I mean, so far they'll tell you, well, there's no real evidence that this disease can spread from person to person except through organ tissue transplants or other unusual exposure to contaminated tissue. But according to the Centers for Disease Control, about 85% of all cases of Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease are considered sporadic, meaning there's no clear cause. They just happen out of the blue. But the coincidence here is that we gave fair warning after the COVID scare was nearly over that one should use caution when making decisions about COVID vaccines and the risks that they take in exposing themselves to prion contamination. It was reported that researchers reported that the replacing of uracil with synthetic methyl pseudoridine in the COVID shots, which is a process known as Condon operation or optimization, can cause what is known as a frame shift or frame shifting, which is a glitch in the decoding, thereby triggering the production of off-target aberrant proteins, namely prions. And so what happens is the antibodies that develop as a result, may in turn trigger off-target immune reactions. And coming up, we're going to have Dr. Kevin McCarron on the program again. He warned us at the beginning of the year, and he's going to talk again about the progress and how all this is coming about, these prions, and what to understand about them, what to learn about them. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back to more Ground Zero. Don't go away. Dr. Kevin W. McCarron is guest tonight on Ground Zero, an accomplished neuroscientist renowned for his extensive research in the fields of neurodegenerative diseases, motor disorders, and neuropsychology. With a PhD in neuroscience, Dr. McCarron has dedicated over two decades to exploring the intricacies of human brain and particularly focusing on the mechanisms underlying Parkinson's disease, dystonia, and other movement disorders. Throughout his career, Dr. McCarron has held prestigious positions in leading research institutions, has been a key contributor to numerous groundbreaking studies. His work has significantly advanced understanding of the neural circuits involving in motor control and pathological processes that lead to movement disorders. His research is highly regarded for its innovative approach, utilizing a combination of electrophysiology, neuroimaging, and behavioral analysis to uncover novel insights into brain function. His website is synapticlabs.com, if I get that out. Dr. McCarron, it's been a while. Thank you so much for coming on the program. I guess vindication is not something we want to talk about here, even though when you appeared on the show the last time, you warned us about these out of the blue reports of prion disorders in people and people dying suddenly from them.
That's correct, Clyde. And thank you for having me on again. This is something I'd prefer not to be vindicated in. I think it's several years since we've been talking, and you know, that has primarily come from one, because I was one of the few early scientists to speak up about what was the synthetic origin of SARS, something that they've admitted to. Recently, you just had a New York Times editorial basically admitting they were wrong, calling out scientists and individuals as conspiracy theorists for raising this issue. And then as we began to understand more about the nature of the pathogens that they'd been working on, what we found was that there were, I don't want to drop too much sort of technical language, but the basically, the way to think of this is that the synthetic proteins that they were making, they basically have attack surfaces on them, and these are surfaces that you can sort of find across the sort of pathogen world, and in a sense, they'd been concentrated into the let's talk about the spike protein in this instance, and so this was bad enough in and of itself that you took a highly transmissible coronavirus and put these attack surfaces on it. But then, to compound problems even more, they basically took genetic engineering tools and suddenly used that as a public health measure. And I want to say that's 13 billion doses into 5 billion people. And Creutzfeldt-Jakob type conditions would be the extreme end. The cluster in Oregon is not the first. There was one reported last year from Michigan. And these are the ones that we hear about. It's the neurodegeneration within things like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, that you tend not to hear about. And something that hasn't been discussed, or very rarely discussed. There's been an increase in the young with respect to, all-cause mortality and, neurological disorders. Now, exactly what those neurological disorders are, you'd have to go, digging into the literature, but, certainly things like multiple sclerosis, early onset Parkinson's, etc. All of these are well, let's put multiple sclerosis aside, but Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, Lewy body dementia, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, all have something in common, which are that they're called proteinopathies and involve protein misfolding. Mm-hmm. And these have been active areas of research for the quote-unquote biowarfare community for decades. Gedzizek, who discovered Kuru, he was ensconced at Fort Detrick. This has been long in the making, and we're reaping the harvest now of what these people have been up to.
Now, I wanted to ask you about the idea of replacing Uracil with synthetic methylpseudouridine in the COVID shots. Was that a contributor to the idea that we have what you, I think it was in your studies, you talked about codon optimization, which caused frame shifting in the processes, and this is what leads to protein folding in on itself. Is this what's happening?
So this was actually a study put out, I say it was Cambridge University and the hospital link there. And this was, I want to say, beginning of 2024. And what they showed was that, yeah, when you substitute Uracil with methyl pseudouridine, that you get this frame slippage. Mm-hmm. And what that means is just that as the protein is translated, you potentially would just get garbage or unpredictable proteins. And we're unlikely, considering the scale that it's been deployed, to get a predictive handle on what that means. And that's, you know, it's hard enough working with the canonical diseases, let alone something that's a consequence of decades of biowarfare research.
Well, and I'm getting this information about the transmissible prion disorders and whether or not, you know, we start seeing this in Alzheimer's, we start seeing this in dementia, and that it's transmissible. What are your findings about the idea of transmissible prions being a problem in the future?
I would say the likelihood is very high. And there's a principle that people need to understand, which is that as we began to understand and categorize the proteinopathies, what was believed was that the species of protein, the disease would only impact one particular species of protein. So, for example, in Parkinson's, there's a protein called alpha-synuclein, and it's believed that, or the sort of dogma is that the mistemplating process that occurs with the disease would only affect that peptide. And as we've come to understand these diseases more, what we find is that in some cases that you get what's called cross-seeding. Mm. And then that makes the process of diagnosis even harder. And so even if we just stuck with the orthodox clinical literature and what we know about SARS as a disorder, it was discovered very early on that there was a form of abnormal clotting occurring. And these were called amyloidogenic microclots, meaning they were resistant to the normal degradative pathways that are necessary for breaking down a clot. And they've been associated with poorer outcomes with the disease itself and with those who have suffered at the longer, more chronic conditions. So we
take something that had a very low mortality rate to something that's a very high mortality rate as a result of an iatrogenic artifact. Am I right?
Well, so, you know, how to think about this. There's the legal framework around biowarfare was set up such that research into lethal agents was prohibited, but incapacitation agents was allowed.
Let's talk more about this. We got to take a break. I want to talk more about the biowarfare aspects of this and how it's determining what is happening to the brain with most people because of what is being administered. Dr. Kevin McCarron with us tonight on Ground Zero. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. We'll be back.
concept of the vaccine is meanwhile fundamentally different from the immune status of an unvaccinated person, because the unvaccinated, their immune system get better and better trained because the virus is circulating. On the other hand, in the vaccinated people, you expose them to a virus that you very well know, the vaccine and immune response that it induces will not be able to prevent the spread. When this highly infectious virus breaks through the last obstacle, the last hurdle of defense, you will shift from antibody-dependent enhancement of infection, what we have right now, to antibody-dependent enhancement of severe disease. For instance, of cancer, other diseases, genetic diseases, other microbial diseases.
My name is Susanna Cahalan. I'm 21 years old, and here I am with my dream job at the New York Post.
Gross. Why are you smiling this early in the morning? It's unnatural and disgusting. You look ridiculous.
Susanna! You're going to interview that creepy senator.
You'll have that Thursday night.
I know I will, because I can always count on you.
I had my whole life in front of me.
Happy birthday!
And I had absolutely no idea what was waiting for me.
We've tested Susanna for every infectious disease.
We will find the answer.
Her life is in your hands. Tell me what is wrong with my daughter.
Whatever it is, it's larger than a virus.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. He's an accomplished neuroscientist renowned for his extensive research in the fields of neurodegenerative diseases, motor disorders, and neuropsychology. Dr. Kevin McCarron with us tonight. Had him on the program a while back. He and I have been talking about this for years, about what we really need to think about with regard to glitches and problems found where we're having proteins being triggered by what would be considered biowarfare agents within the vaccination or within the vaccines. And this has been something that has been his work. And now we're seeing, like you say, Dr. McCarron, no real isolated incidence of the prion disorders happening, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease and others. But you were talking and alluding to the idea of this being biowarfare. Is it a binary biowarfare thing where we have to have two combinations, or is it something that's intentional that we need to be aware of?
Well, each agent by itself is going to cause problems, but mix them together and you're, of course, going to compound those issues. I would just point people to the admission that the U.S. government just basically gave within the last few weeks, which was where they denied vehemently that there'd been anything. So if people cast their minds back to 2019, there was the military games in Wuhan, China, and there was vehement opposition from the idea that athletes came back with any signs of outward illness. And in within this month, they've basically reversed that position and admitted to the public that, yeah, they did come back with signs and symptoms consistent with SARS infection. And we've just continued to see them obfuscate. I don't know how that's going to change with the current administration, with RFK in charge of HHS. But there's been a substantial increase just in unusual presentations of disease, and primarily these revolve around misfolded peptides, whether that's the abnormal clotting that you're seeing in the blood, mm-hmm. or as a consequence of them traversing the blood-brain barrier, or in effect working a little like rabies and being able to travel up along nerve fibers to get into the central nervous system. This is something that we've been dealing with, not only with the pathogen itself, but also a consequence, again, I will reiterate this, that what you saw was not the a normal public health campaign. You saw a global lockstep approach to deploying a therapeutic intervention based on genetic engineering tools, which is primarily in Western countries you take the genetic material that you're interested in, the one with the pseudouridine that we were talking about earlier, you wrap it in a synthetic lipid, and then you you get it past immune barriers such that it can then transfect tissues, organs, including the brain, and blood reproductive. It'll travel all around the body.
So we're talking about framework manipulation. We're talking about the idea that, well, I mean, gain-of-function exercises where we're force multiplying certain results with these diseases is, I believe, and I would say this, a biowarfare crime. And we know that Dr. Fauci was doing this. We know that several other doctors are doing this. We know that there are rogue labs that do this, and yet they get away with it. And people are dying from it. Right.
It's perfectly legal because they can turn around and say, well, the degree of lethality in the immediate presentation is low, but it's the incapacitation that they're after. And so the strategic thinking being that if you can take out a military unit and make them 30 to 50% less effective, mm-hmm. then essentially you've gained the edge on the battlefield. And again, go check. It's not a hard fact to check, which is that, the laws around, or the agreements around, I should say, which stemmed from Nixon era, which was pursuing lethal biowarfare agents, right, was seen as a race to the bottom. Incapacitation agents are perfect. You know, research into them is perfectly allowed. And more perversely, you've seen the post 9/11 that they were going to preempt the emergence of any of these types of agents through the type of research that brought us to where we are today.
But they were working on things like symbiont transmissions, right? They were thinking of finding ways to combine, to force multiply many of the diseases we're seeing today. And of course, it started with HIV, SARS, and now we're looking at the aftermath of COVID and the data that we're getting regarding a biowarfare agent used on the people without them knowing about it.
That's correct. And you know, even now it's hard to get people to comprehend exactly what's happened, because along with the sort of physical programs into the research of the pathogens and the countermeasures, they an equal and perhaps even more amount of effort went into the psychological programs designed just to discombobulate and confuse populations en masse.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, you know, everybody were following the doctors who were getting grants from saying that this is good, this is good, this is good. And then all the other doctors who hadn't had a dog in the hunt only to warn people were shut down and censored. And it's being proven now. They were shut down and censored on many social networks.
Yeah, it happened to me. Debanked, shut down on social media. And again, for something that they're literally admitting to now. It didn't take 50 years. It took 5 years. For them to turn around and basically say, yeah, these people were correct all along.
In fact, I was marveling at the fact that I said, you know, it's been 5 years on, and yet we were saying, you know, I remember back in the middle of the COVID scares, we were saying, just think of what's going to happen 10 years from now and what you're going to be hearing about, what happened, what really happened, and what diseases you're going to be getting from getting the vaccine. It's happening 5 years after the fact, which I find interesting. And people like you, Kevin, are getting vindicated for what research you did put out there and people needed to hear and listen to. Coming up, more Dr. Kevin McCarron tonight on Ground Zero and your phone calls. Give us a call, 503-225-0860. This would be an opportunity for you to have your questions answered by a doctor, by a well-known scientist, right here on Ground Zero. 503-225-0860. Back with more. Don't go away.
Yeah.
425-0860. The numbers to call. Dr. Kevin McCarron with us tonight. A lot of things to talk about with regard to the symbiont idea. Definitely warfare, biological warfare against this country, against the people. The idea of prions and how proteins are folding improperly now with some people that have been jabbed with the COVID vaccine. A lot of things to get to. We're going to get some calls right now, though. Let's go to Derek. Derek, hi. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. Hey, Dr. Kevin. Two questions here. It's a wild show tonight.
Thank you.
Kind of a scary show for me, personally. I was wondering, can you alleviate my paranoia here with this parasite prion stuff? We know, like, during the pandemic, the ivermectin and these different dewormers and parasite medication was working for people to alleviate their symptoms. We know that the symptoms were, like, really strange, like the dreaming stuff and the taste bud stuff and everything. We know that, like, Tyson chicken plant and different meat facilities were getting, quote-unquote, COVID and had to shut down and stuff. So what are the chances that the origin of COVID was, like, parasite-based somehow, and they were trying to potentially get some kind of mRNA vaccine that would, like, yeah, we'll get rid of the parasites, and in turn, they create some kind of killer, contagious prion that's attacking us. Or even more sinister, they were intentionally making some kind of programmable parasite, and in turn, they created some kind of killer, contagious prion thing. What do you think about that? Oh, and just if we know that this is messing with our brains and stuff, what do you think, Doctor, is Ozempic doing to our brains? And we just found out that, like, most of the country is taking Gila monster venom in order to, like, change their behavior and stuff. So are we going to find out in 5 years that that has bad side effects to us and that kind of stuff? What do you think? Sorry.
Well, to your first question, I would just say it's not necessary to embellish what is already a horrific set of circumstances. In fact, what I would probably say is that what they would do with the weaponized psychological operations that went hand in hand with it is seed into the public mind the idea that the more lurid tales that you hear, whereas the fact that they were dealing with and studying in depth these protein misfolding attack surfaces of and a lot to do with HIV. There is a massive database at Los Alamos where essentially what they've done is be able to distill down to the minimal amount of amino acids required to make that to make those attack surfaces, and then it's just what are routine genetic engineering methods now to insert them into pathogens. With respect to the Gila monster venom, I
sorry,
that's probably just a bad idea. Full stop. So,
all right.
But for the parasites and the prion stuff, is it just a kind of just a coincidence that the parasite medication was working like pre-shot, and then now we have prions post-shot? Is that just disconnected, or is that are those connected somehow?
It's a complex question around ivermectin, mechanisms of action, etc. I've always just took the position that that there shouldn't be a bureaucracy standing between you and your primary care physician, and you know, if there's evidence that something might work, then It shouldn't be blocked in the way that they did do it. So
And just real quick, what are the early symptoms? So before the dementia kicks in and everything, like, what should a 35-year-old shelf stalking physical specimen be worried about? Like, if my gut starts acting weird, if my nerves seem shaky, like, what are the early symptoms that I should be keeping an eye out for myself?
With respect to the neurodegeneration or the
I didn't get the shot or anything like that, but I've been just the prion attack. I've been worried about my guts and, like, anxiety and that kind of stuff the last few months, and wondering if it's just paranoia or is there some kind of transmissible.
The gut-brain axis is fertile area of research currently, and I would just say listen to your gut in this instance. If you feel bad, take time to rest. It's something that is not emphasized enough in the U.S.
People always say that if you don't rest, it's a moral failing. I mean, if you decide that you don't want to. You want to nap or something, it's a moral failing. I'm learning that taking time and just, you know, letting yourself relax a bit does help in the long run. Taking some time for yourself to relax does help in the long run.
Thank you, guys. Great show. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Pat calling in tonight. Hey, Pat, you're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, hey, thank you, Clyde, and the good Dr. McCarron there. I had a statement and a couple questions. The last time I believe you were on the show, you were talking about the Eastern Equine Encephalitis and mosquitoes, Bill Gates thing. But I was wondering if you knew anything on the first question about the hepatitis A vaccine that was given between 2017 and 2020. And my second question was that I have a friend that was adopted, and his father had 8 siblings, and they all had 12 toes. This is kind of crazy. And they all perished from Huntington's disease. So I was wondering if you knew anything about a vaccine or something that would have been going around about that time between 1945 and 55 or 60 that may cause Huntington's disease and the degeneration or whatever of the toes or the malfunction of having 6 toes and having that disease.
Huntington's is a genetic disorder, and by the sounds of it, it was just a freak occurrence from the polydactyly to the neurodegeneration. Without more details, it's hard to really comment. But Huntington's is it's a fatal diagnosis.
But you don't get it. It's caused by a vaccine like polio vaccine or whatever that they were giving.
It's tough to say, but generally it's just considered a recessive gene.
Yeah.
Something like that. Mutation.
Yeah. That there are a lot of things that, we look back at and we say, they gave this, I guess you could say, cure, like thalidomide, for example. I mean, thalidomide was something that people look back at and they're like going, people were warned, same with cigarettes. Back in the day, they used to say that if you smoked cigarettes, it was good for your throat. Doctors would say by it. But then again, those doctors were being paid to say that. And that's what we need to remember when we're dealing with stuff like this. Goes to Richard in Connecticut. Hi, Richard. You're on Ground Zero.
How are you doing?
Go ahead. You're on the air.
I wanted to get right to the point, not to waste your time. I'm taking a specific drug for a brain seizure disorder. It's similar to epilepsy, but it's not classified as epilepsy. And it was totally out of the blue, these seizures. And I didn't start getting them until really after my first COVID shot, which I actually have the exact date. Since my
so you're thinking that your COVID shot is contributing to the seizures?
COVID infection, I think, in this case, and he wouldn't be the first. It is a recognized part of the symptom site.
Did you get that, Richard, that is something that he wouldn't be surprised is happening to you?
It was. It's out of the blue.
Okay, the music's rolling in. You're getting confused, and we need to move on. We're going to have more from Dr. McCarron coming up on Ground Zero, 503-225.
Clyde, yes. I have another meeting. I've got people here at the lab.
Oh, so you got to have a meeting. So you're going to take off?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was told between 11 and 1 p.m. Okay. My time.
All right, fantastic.
I've scheduled stuff for after.
Well, still, it was very informative. Thank you again for being a part of the program. Thank you.
You're more than welcome, Clyde.
Take care. Time. Have a good night. We'll be back with more right here on Ground Zero. Don't go away.
Okay, thank you.
Paranormal Talk Radio, you'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app. free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Join me on a journey where getting lost is the only true destination. For the past, present, and future all coexist on the same timeline. Where happiness is an illusion. This is the future we are in right now. Where our phones are the first things that we touch when we wake up. The last thing we touch before falling asleep. Radiant, seductive screens we so lovingly, endlessly gaze upon. Much like you're doing right now. Welcome to a future where our true reflection is only revealed once the screen goes dark. Welcome to the darkness. I hope you find it enlightening.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We should."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We should."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We should."
Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I guess the point of what I'm trying to say, what Dr. Kevin McCarron's trying to say, is that there is a concern, something that we warned you about months before, a concern that a rare brain disorder is now popping up everywhere and how it's not behaving like it used to. That's the scary part. Already, you know, prions can kill you. They fold the proteins in your brain. They turn your brain to mush. But now it's a huge mystery for them, a lot of them, who haven't followed what Dr. McCarron has found. And the question is, couldn't be the untested, unsafe, prion-creating China flu jabs, are they responsible? No one, I remember during the COVID situation, no one was ever really allowed to present this possibility or ask this question in America. Here we are 5 years on, and we're now seeing signs of the future. And while there will be little reporting of these glitches in the patterns, I think they must be analyzed and reported for their connections to the vaccines. Your blood, if you've been COVID-19 mRNA inoculated, your blood is now slowly clogging and coagulating to try and defend itself from the proteins your own cells are now creating, ones that mimic deadly virus strains. Your blood that flows past these clots can also add to the clot, making the clots bigger, more dangerous, compounding the coagulation factor. Then inflammation increases. Then you have a chance of a heart attack or some neurodegenerative disorder. Have you noticed that there have been health PSAs being played right now during late night radio, warning people about the dangers of thrombosis, throwing a clot? Blood clots are dangerous. Yes, this is the answer to the mystery of why perfectly healthy young adults all around the world suffer heart inflammation within days of being COVID-19 vaccinated. Even the protein payload in the non-mRNA vaccines can cause inflammation and clotting. So none of the vaxxers are safe. It's Russian roulette. And of course, the heart is inflamed. If major veins are clogged up with virus-mimicking proteins that stick together and then stick to the inner walls of the blood vessels, of course, the entire human body is suffering from massive inflammation where the immune system recognizes it's under constant attack by an army of mutated virus-looking fragments. But prions. Prions are terrifying. Prions aren't diseases. Prions are not infections. They're not viruses. There's no way to stop them. Once they've started their mission, they'll turn the human brain into sponge, turn everyone it comes in contact with into a vegetative state. Seriously. Corruption of research is nothing new, and it's not conspiracy theory. Corruption of research, gain of function type of things like this are a widespread phenomenon currently found in many major supposedly contagious health problems, ranging from, you know, simple flus, ranging from AIDS, hepatitis C, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, mad cow, SARS, avian flu. Current vaccination practices could be iatrogenic artifacts. And people say, how can that happen, Clyde? Why would that happen at all? Well, you just take a look at history. History is one of the biggest tellers of what is going on. The United States, let's be frank, the United States has had a history of secret and unethical medical and military experiments, including radiation exposure to people, biological warfare tests on people, deliberate infections often conducted without consent. Many people have heard of the 1932 Tuskegee syphilis study, withholding treatment from black men. The 1940 malaria experiments on prisoners in the Rockefeller Institute's 1931 cancer cell injections. From 1949 to 1969, we talked about Serratia. Serratia marcescens was released in San Francisco. Cadmium sulfide was released over Winnipeg, St. Louis, other places. Experiments included spraying bacteria in airports like Reagan International, releasing mosquitoes carrying dangerous things like dengue fever, Georgia, Florida, Puerto Rico, contaminated subway systems without public knowledge. And all these tests, you'll have a hard time finding out about. It's MK Naomi. Many of them classified. Many of the victims did not receive any justice. And I'm giving you this rich history of, and they're not conspiracy theories. They're conspiracies and cover-ups that highlight ongoing concerns about ethics, transparency, and human rights in research. The history of medical and military research in the United States has been marred by a series of unethical experiments conducted on unwitting human subjects, from secret radiation exposure to biological warfare tests on civilian populations, you name it. And if you look through history at these disturbing experiments, they actually reveal a pattern of disregard for human rights in the name of scientific advancement and national security. I remember back when my mother and others were talking about the downwinders and being downwind from the nuclear fallout from Las Vegas, or actually from Nevada into St. George and Cedar City, Utah. And they were told, hey, don't complain. This is for national security. This is for the benefit of national security. So having some mutation in your DNA because you're exposed to this type of radiation, having that is what you have to live with because it's a boon to national security. I should be a hero. My mother, bless her soul, should be a hero. Many people exposed to that deadly radiation, they should all be heroes, but many of them are dead. But it's all for national security and for the benefit of mankind. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. Back on more Ground Zero. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Dr. McCarran was talking about with regard to experiments, biowarfare experiments on the people, and how eventually it can be proven that this is what is going on, that this was all a big biowarfare experiment with COVID and with the vaccines. But, you know, people say, well, that wouldn't happen today. It doesn't happen. You know, what are you talking about? This is conspiracy theory. Well, okay. But history shows a different thing. Like in 1931, where the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Investigations conducted experiments in which human subjects were deliberately infected with cancer cells without their knowledge or consent. Around the same time, Dr. Cornelius Rhodes, under the auspices of government and civilian hospitals, began exposing patients to high doses of radiation to study its effects. Rhodes later became a key figure in the U.S. biological weapons program. Is that a test that he had to do in order to make it to that top position? One of the most infamous cases, of course, was the Tuskegee syphilis study, which began in 1932, where we look at the U.S. Public Health Service recruited hundreds of African-American men, 200 of whom had syphilis under the false promise of a free medical care. But as we know, if we read history, researchers withheld the treatment even after penicillin became a standard cure in the 1940s. But they wanted to observe the disease's progression in black men. And the study continued for 40 years, only ending in 1972 after public outcry. 1940, 400 prisoners in Chicago were infected with malaria to test experimental drugs. These inmates were subjected to painful symptoms without proper medical oversight, highlighting the exploitation of vulnerable populations in medical research. The Vietnam War, of course, some of the most brazen biological experiments. In one instance, the U.S. Army sprayed bacterial mist on unsuspecting travelers in Washington, D.C.'s Ronald Reagan National Airport to test the effectiveness of biological agents in crowded places. Also, government scientists placed Bacillus globigii, a bacterium linked to food poisoning and infections, inside light bulbs, dropped them into the NYC and Chicago subway systems. And the goal was to study how pathogens could spread in an urban environment without informing the public of the risks. The military also tested the same virus in Hawaii, deploying it from a submarine in the port of Oahu to simulate a biological attack on the naval bases. The U.S. military and the CIA released dengue fever carrying mosquitoes. Carrying mosquitoes of dengue fever in Georgia and Florida, leading to outbreaks of debilitating diseases. Similar tests were conducted in Puerto Rico, where civilians were exposed to biological agents without their knowledge. So these experiments, these cover-ups, remain classified for decades. And how do they come to light? Well, somebody had the wherewithal to go through the Freedom of Information Act and make a request in order to do some really good investigative journalism. A lot of victims and their families have sought justice. But of course, the way the government works is they don't receive compensation. They don't receive acknowledgement from the government, or they receive hush-hush money to shut up and not talk about it. And these unethical experiments raise critical questions about medical ethics with regard to the vaccines. It raises critical questions, in my opinion, over government transparency, questions about human rights. Serve as a grim reminder of what can happen when scientific research is conducted without oversight or consent, a warning that remains relevant today because we have new technologies, we have new military strategies emerging, and we are just the guinea pigs in the way. Go to Jim in Michigan. Hey, Jim, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. Yeah, I wanted to tell you about the polio vaccine. There was a virus, cancer virus, that was in it, and the government knew it, and it gave it to all us baby boomers in 1956. Mm-hmm. I got the polio vaccine, and I became deathly sick and almost died from it. It's called the SV40 virus. And so I've been sickly all my life, you know, with leukemia-like symptoms, easily bruise and bleed. And then when I got older, around 45 years old, and then it reared its ugly head again and almost killed me again.
Wow.
And so by the grace of God, I came across an alternative that saved my life and stopped the virus. It would cause bone marrow cancer in my particular case.
Did you ever take it to the authorities and ask them if they could help or compensate?
No. You know, I didn't know what to do. It was in the year 2000 when I became deathly ill.
Uh-huh.
And all my blood counts were dropping, and I was going to die from it. It was a fatal cancer. There was no cure for it. And I got a couple chemotherapies that kind of prolonged my life for a while. And then I had this strange dream that God sent a message to me about this place I should go, and about 200 miles north of here. And I went there and I stayed at this motel, and this little Indian lady told about this cancer cure that a lot of people were taking. And it was calcium hypochlorite. It's something they put in swimming pools to kill viruses. And this disease I had, this cancer virus, was down in my bone marrow, and it stopped it. It put it in check, and it saved my life. And I've been in remission for about 12 years now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, otherwise I was going to die from it. There was no cure.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, what? They only go so far. Doctors only go so far. They say, well, I can't treat you anymore, so you're condemned to death. And yet there's always a chance for the body.
The exact same cancer, and after 7 chemos, it killed them.
It's too bad to hear. Sad.
Yeah, but
well, I'm glad you're around.
For some reason, God still wants me around.
Well, I'm glad you're around, and I'm glad you're out there, and I'm glad that you are fighting still, and you have a resilient body. Thank you so much for calling the program.
Yep, SV40 virus.
SV40, I'll remember that. Okay, let's go to Matt in North Carolina. Hey, Matt, you're on Ground Zero.
How you doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
I thought, you know, there's a book out there called The Poison Squad. It talks about different outbreaks, how the United States experimented on the different people.
Mm-hmm.
For all different, the cans, as well as the lighting, lead, the whole nine yards, different strengths as well.
Well, I think, what was it? They said that in 77, or maybe it was during the Carter administration, they were saying they were going to stop it, and that it was the Carter administration that apologized to the Tuskegee experiment. The surviving ones. But I don't think that they would stop that. I think they're continuing that, and I think they're doing it in the guise of saying, we're here to help you. We're paying all this money out. You better do as we say. And that's why Americans need to stop being so gullible and stop being so, oh, okay, we'll go along with it. Because there have been times where the same Americans that have gone along with stuff like this have ended up dying of horrible diseases later on.
Yeah, exactly. Our FDA is fighting for us, too, right now.
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, I think everybody's doing a good thing. They're doing something in the right direction. I think we're going to adopt the European standards of food.
Well,
I've been in the food service for 30 years. I've seen demise up and down, and right.
What about the Canadian standard of life now? The idea that you can kill yourself even if you can't pay your bills. That's cheaper.
Yeah.
That's sad. Anyway,
my wife passed away from cancer. And guess what? She's, I think she's gonna save.
Thanks for calling. 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
Getting things wrong. At the beginning of the 20th century, radium was promoted as a health-producing tonic and cure. It was
damage to toothpaste. It was only after Americans started to suffer painful deaths from radiation poisoning that science began to realize its mistake. Through the 1950s, medical doctors were recommending various cigarette brands as not only safe, but also good for the lungs. A little later, thalidomide, the drug responsible for a large number of safety regulations today, was prescribed as safe for pregnant women with tragic consequences. Just imagine the disaster that would have happened if such practices were made mandatory for our own good. Safety is never a guarantee, and even the experts get things wrong.
A paramyxa virus,
Godzilla,
potentially a mutant on,
and Frankenstein, all in one.
Launch.
When did we run out of body bags? 2 days ago.
I now believe that we have a Frankenstein on our hands. He must be stopped.
You know what crazy is? Crazy is majority rules. Yeah. Take germs for example.
Germs.
Huh? 18th century, no such thing. Nothing. Who would ever imagine such a thing? It's the same person. Along comes this doctor. Semmelweis comes along, and he's trying to convince people, other doctors mainly, that there's these teeny tiny invisible bad things called germs that get into your body and make you sick.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 225-0860, 503-225-0860. Let's go to Carlos in California. Hey, Carlos, you're on Ground Zero.
Great show, Clyde, as usual. Great show.
Thank you.
You know, in 1963 at Tulane University, the Rockefeller Foundation was sponsoring so-called cancer research through the National Institute of Health.
Uh-huh.
And what they were doing, they were putting cancer cells on the polio vaccine. And this has been chronicled in the book, Dr. Mary's Monkey.
Uh-huh.
They actually gave the documentation on that. And it showed up in what later on, many years later, in what that gentleman mentioned as small virus 40, showed up in the cancer of tissues of many women with breast cancer. So there might be a correlation there, you know, between many people that were vaccinated with the polio vaccine.
Well, look at all the people that were vaccinated with the COVID vaccine, and look who's behind all of the funding, not just Big Pharma, but you got the Rockefeller Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Johns Hopkins University. I go down the list. Some of them are even eugenicists people. And a lot of them are behind these experiments, like what we're seeing with the dire wolves and everything else. I mean, they're all connected.
Of course.
And people don't know that.
And you know, one institution they hardly mention is the Freemasonic, the name escapes me. The space over in North Carolina. Jesus.
I don't know.
It's a big Masonic institution, one of the most prevalent. They've also sponsored a lot of experimentation, eugenics experimentation. Albert Pike, I think, instituted that Masonic organization. I wish I could remember the name. It's very prevalent. But anyway, they were involved also. I mean, there's all kinds of powerful players behind it. You know, the Rockefeller Foundation started putting cancer cells on the Spanish flu way back. They were the ones behind the Spanish flu. And they inoculated military people way back in the 1915s or whenever it was, and it spread all over the world.
Right.
So the Rockefeller Foundation is very central to this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it's in congruence, really, with the Gustav Mullins wrote a book called The Death by Injection. And he mentioned how the Rockefellers took over the whole medical industry, from all the way from top to bottom, since breaking the late 1880s, 1800s. So these people are up to their neck, the Rockefeller people, up to their neck in criminal activity under the facade of healthy vaccinations. Who knows what's going to happen now? They're making a big scene out of this smallpox now mm-hmm. that is showing up.
Well, the measles too. I mean, measles are strange in a sense that remember back when the Brady Bunch was on TV, and I guess Bobby and Cindy got measles. They're going, what a great way to skip school. You know, and then the other kids got measles. Like, okay, more Brady's getting the measles, and they had to stay in bed and rest. Now it's kid gets the measles, kid dies, parents held responsible, they're anti-vaxxers. Blah. How is it that we've changed all this time to become, you know, from the Brady Bunch with kids toughening it out to kids that just can't handle having measles, something as simple as the measles? Because they're not the same measles strains. That's the reason why. Measles strains are more force multiplied. It can kill people now.
Well, yeah, I remember catching the measles way back then. All the kids used to catch it all the time, and they all survived. This was back in the 1950s, you know, when I was a kid. You know, I mean, these things have been doctored up and improved to kill people. You know what I mean?
Right. So, I mean, you know, you look back at the history and you see all these things and how they've gone down. And then you start asking yourself, why is it something as simple as the measles didn't kill kids back in the 70s? Because they didn't force multiply these measles strains. And they do it by going in using bovine blood. They go in by doing it. I mean, that's what a vaccine is. It means vaca. Español. No cierto, no? Vaca means cow, right?
Vaca means cow, yeah.
Yeah, right. So a vaccine, that's pigeon Spanish, isn't it? A vaccine, por favor, dame un vaccine. No, you don't want to say that.
Yeah. I see the connection there.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, you should, because that's what it is. It's about putting bovine blood, cowpox blood, into a vaccine and using the antibodies from it to try and kill the disease. And that's why they called it a vaccine, because it was linked to cows. It's still linked to cows. And what do cows give us? Well, they give us meat, they give us milk, they give us butter, they give us cheese, and now they can give us things like prion disorders.
Well, you know, I don't trust a single vaccination now. I don't take any vaccines, even though my doctor is hard-pressing me all the time. Oh, take the flu vaccine. Hell no. Yeah. I'm not going to take a flu. I haven't taken a flu vaccine in 5 years. Because I don't trust any of them.
Right.
They can always put the COVID, whatever, the COVID virus on the flu vaccine. You would never know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't trust a single one.
Well, you can use some other Spanish words, too, like, oh, I don't know, Doctor Hijo de Puta. I don't know what you're saying.
I love that.
I don't know.
Well, you know, you can get away with it in the English programming here, but if you said that in Spanish...
Oh, I got in trouble one time. I was doing a morning show piece where I was with a bunch of morning show guys. We were writing comedy, and one of the songs I was singing, I was making fun of the song One Ton of Mierda. Remember the song? Right. I said, One Ton of Mierda, and it got me into trouble. Anyway... Hey, man. Thank you for the call. Yeah. Thank you, man.
You're making me laugh.
Oh, good night. Thank you. 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. Back with more. Don't go away. Let's go to Jay in Alaska. Hey, Jay, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. Earlier, I heard one of your callers calling about the blood tests for COVID vaccines in there and whatnot.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Well, I just want to let you know, I was in the military, stationed in Germany back in the 90s. And ever since then, they say that anybody in, you know, that was in Europe in that time period were susceptible to have gotten mad cow's disease. And so I'm, you know, if I go in there and do, you know, I can't donate blood, basically. The, you know, in the questionnaire, it asks that about that. And
because they say that you were you were actually exposed to mad cow disease.
They say that anybody in that area in Europe during that time frame could have contracted it, and they have no way of testing for it. So I know, used to donate blood,
yeah,
and now I can't donate blood anymore because they don't go through and test the blood for that,
right?
That is what it is. I mean, the best part about it is that I don't have to mow my lawn anymore because I just go out there and graze every once in a while. So other than that, I don't have any kind of side effects.
Well, that's interesting because, like I say, my grandmother got it, and they said that she got it when she was in Germany, and they attributed it to the possibility that she ate something like bad lamb or something. That's what they were saying. They said some sort of a...
Yeah, well, that's what they say, that any, you know, we could have gotten it, you know, from if we were gone, you know, on the economy eating anything or on the base and eating anything, you know, meat wise.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was, you know, beef or, you know, lamb or
how old are you now?
Whatnot.
How old are you now?
They say they don't have a test for it.
I'm just saying, how old are you now?
Oh, I'm 53 right now. I was in Germany on that tour in 91. To 93.
Well, the incubation period, I was told, was, you know, in some cases as high as 75 years.
75 years?
Yeah, some are lower. Just depends on the metabolism.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, my last tour over there was in 2013, so I got a long ways to go. Shoot.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. I mean, like I said, it depends on metabolism. It depends on, you know, what you're exposed to and whether a neurodegenerative disease is in your cards. And believe me, it's a roulette wheel. So thank you for sharing that. Let's go to Jeff in New Mexico. Hey, Jeff, you're on Ground Zero.
Hello, Clyde. Great show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm 79 and a half years old, okay?
Okay.
I've been through some stuff. And the thing that I'm trying to be a good Christian by not getting really upset with the doctors.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this whole thing has been a big scam. They're trying to live up to the Georgia Guidestone. That's why they tore it down.
Mm-hmm.
So people didn't see what they were doing. Anyhow, I suffered taking chemo for multiple myeloma, which is your bone marrow.
Mm-hmm.
I was exposed to COVID from a friend of ours, and we had Thanksgiving or Christmas, one of those two, with him. And I mean, I got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I are retired. She used to be a registered respiratory therapist. She pulled me through it, okay? Now, the bottom line is, I said, I've had enough of this. I was like a 240-pound man, you know,
mm-hmm.
6 foot. And I'm down to 225 now.
Mm-hmm.
And... my muscles are basically depleted.
Right.
All right. So I made a decision. I listened. I started watching and listening on the internet and listening. And I heard about parasite cleanses.
Uh-huh.
And I had done one years before, but I didn't believe I had any. You know, and boy, is that a joke.
Right.
Some of that stuff would come out of me. I didn't even want to see it, buddy. I just wanted to flush it.
Yeah.
But the bottom line was, now they're proving that my wife has MS,
mm-hmm.
and they're coming to the conclusion that those parasites pass the brain-blood barrier.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that causes MS now.
Well, the biggest problem we have is that a lot of these things that go past the blood barrier create inflammation. Inflammation causes pain. And inflammation is something that's hard to get rid of, especially for people that are not able to take NSAIDs. So if you're not able to take an NSAID, you're going to be in pain for the rest of your life, or you're going to have to take something that's going to have to, you know, compromise your immune system in order for it to work. It's not good. Things are going really bizarre. They can't get rid of the pain. So what they're going to do is they're going to exasperate it more with more ways to make you feel pain. And that's not cool. Let's go to Melissa in South Carolina. Hey, Melissa, you're on Ground Zero.
Hello, I was calling in response to an earlier caller because I haven't listened for the last couple of hours, but the just past caller, his wife with MS and him with his struggles, they might want to look into Lyme disease protocols because a lot of things have been misdiagnosed that are actually Lyme disease, and you got to get on multi-spectrum antibiotics and all these good supplements that help you build back and fight it. But I called initially because of the caller who said he had cancer. He referenced the Dr. Mary's Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
That book, you would love the author to have him on. He's so informed. His father was involved in that.
I think we've had him on before, yes.
Haslam.
Yeah.
Is his name. And what people need to know who are in our age group, our parents kind of skirted this, but the Salk and Sabin vaccines, polio vaccines, had simian cancer virus in the monkey cancer virus.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all been subjected, our whole bodies, our whole lives long, been subjected to creating soft tissue cancers. This is what people need to understand. If you think about every cancer in every part of your body that people our age, I'm 72, you're younger, but my age group to 10 years older and younger than you, we've all been subjected to this in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We've been fighting against dying from these soft tissue cancers all these years. And it's breast, uterine, prostate, skin, brain. All of these are soft tissue cancers. And so this book, Dr. Mary's Monkey, is so thorough.
Well,
the guy's brilliant.
We'll look into it. We'll look into it. Maybe we can find a guest. Maybe we can do it as a guest, too. It is informative. I've read it. It's a good book. Let's go to Tally in Washington. Hey, Tally, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, I just want to talk about how it was like literally 2 years to the day after the COVID vaccine came out, they rolled out the Ozempic.
Oh, Ozempic?
And unfortunately, I think it replaced it. And unfortunately, I'm a victim of it. So I'm going to have to live with these side effects for the rest of my life.
What are your side effects?
I have stomach paralysis.
How are they going to get your stomach from not being paralyzed?
I don't know. They're going to have to do surgery to stimulate my organs and my stomach to work again.
What about your gallbladder? You still have it?
I still have it, but my gallbladder does not work right now. I have no fluid coming into my stomach to break down my food.
Wow.
So my duct is completely clogged.
Well, that's one more thing we need to look into, I guess, is what Ozempic is doing to people. I mean, a lot of people using it in droves, and that was brought up earlier from Derek, so we'll see about that, too. Thank you, Tally, for the call. Great show tonight. Thank you for being a part of it. I really enjoy talking with you and the great questions you gave, Dr. McCarron. Thank you, Dr. McCarron, for being a part of the program. Say hello to Chris, and remember, keep your mind where they can't get at it. You keep it Ground Zero. Good night.